His grace is amazing. Amen. The very fact that he would look down upon us, as the Bible says, even in our sin, Christ died for us. If you're here today and you've never experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, then I want to encourage you to see me after the service. I would love to talk to you about what it means to be a Christ follower. Today we're still in the book of Malachi. And this is dealing with a people who are a covenant people. So if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 7. We're going to start off there. Last week, we talked about returning to God. And the title of the message was The Returner. We're doing this series is entitled Heroes and Zeros. And today, the title of the message is The Robber. And so we're going to talk about what it means to rob God. And talking about the tithes and the offerings, we're going to encourage all of us just to listen carefully to what the Spirit of God would say to us. This is dealing with a covenant people. You remember the story. In chapter 1, Malachi is frustrated because he's dealing with people that have a covenant relationship with God. These are people that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's the same thing. Jesus Christ has made a point to say to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But it requires a person having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about church attendance. It's not about even being baptized. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when he's talking to these folks in Malachi's day about that covenant relationship, here's the beautiful thing. Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I am also one who has a covenant relationship with the Holy God. Malachi chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 7. Would you stand in honor of God's word as I begin reading Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. He says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. And so here's the encouragement. Here's the amazing statement. Return to me. Return to me. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way can we return? Verse 8. He says there, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In the tithes, and here's the answer, in the tithes and the offerings. And because of that, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he gives the answer. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he gives us an opportunity to do something that is never offered again in Scripture. And that is for us to test God, to try God in this. Look what it says. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out to you such a blessing that there will not even be room enough to receive it. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that as the people of God, those of us who have that covenant relationship with Jesus, I pray that even today, Father, even today, will you make it possible for us to understand fully what you're asking us and how you're challenging us. We pray the blessings upon your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to get right into the text because I want us to cover this and I want us to have a thorough understanding of the Word. That's why I really, really do love going just verse by verse, book by book, going through the Bible. I believe there's an affinity for the Word of God that's shown in us going verse by verse through a book of the Bible. Look what it says there again. In verse 8, the question is asked, and this is a rhetorical question, but here's the question, will a man rob God? The Hebrew word for rob is the Hebrew word koab, and it means to rob or to a person who has a premeditated thievery, and they do it by force. Now, I don't quite understand how we can rob God by force, but the word indicates that we are robbing God in a forceful way. Maybe it's in light of what God has done for us. Maybe it's in light of how God has blessed us. Maybe it's in light of the way that God has ministered to us. It is absolutely unthinkable in my eyes to think that a person could rob a benevolent, generous God, a benevolent, generous Heavenly Father. But that's exactly what the Word of God is saying here, that we have robbed God. I believe the even greater disaster is the next statements that we read there when he says, "See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out to you blessings that you cannot even hold." I think the greater disaster in all of this is that the people that are robbing God are also causing God's blessings to be shut down and to be shut off. We would... When we lived in Hickson, down there off of O'Neill Road, there was a stream that was right down from our house. And when it would rain, we used to love to get some plywood or some kind of board to dam up that stream that would happen so that we'd have a place to have our own little swimming hole, you know. And so we'd take those boards and we'd place them there at the entrance of the opening of the road there where the water was going to flow through, and we'd make our own little dam. That's exactly what's happening for the people of God who have a covenant relationship with God. When we refuse to give back to God what is rightfully His, we are literally damming up all the blessings that God wants to pour into your life. And so it's a sad thing that we think about what we're doing to ourselves because we're robbing God and we're cheating ourselves of the blessings. The amazing statement to me is found in that first part of chapter 3. And that's where he's encouraging all of us to return to him. And they ask the question, in what way can we return to you? And so he gives them the answer. He gives them the response that they're looking for. He says to them, the way that you can return to God is to return to me in the ordinances. We are a covenant relationship. We have a covenant relationship. And I've asked you to obey me by doing these certain things, these ordinances. You're not doing them. In other words, here's what God is literally saying to his people. I'm keeping up with my part of the bargain. I'm keeping up with my part of the deal. But you are not keeping up with your covenant relationship and with your part of the deal. And so God responds, return to me in the ordinances. And one of the ordinances that he describes there in the latter part of verse 8, look what it says. They ask the question, in what way have we robbed you? And he says there at the end of verse 8, he says there in the tithes and in the offerings. So that leads me to the next question. What's a tithe? So what's a tithe? If you've been in church for long enough, you probably know what a tithe is. But just in case, let me give you a clarity on what the tithe literally was and is for the Old Testament believer and for the New Testament believer. Number one, tithing is giving a tenth of your income. And I've had people ask me questions like, now, is that pre-tax or after-tax? Is that net or gross? You know, I have had questions like that. You know what? That's between you and God. I'm confident that if you get into the Word of God with the Spirit of God's help, you'll be able to answer that question. But he just simply says a tenth of your income, a tenth of what God provides in your life. Number two, tithing is vital to your spiritual health. In other words, I don't believe that you can actually have a strong love relationship with God and disobey Him week after week after week. My parents are here. I can guarantee you I would not be standing here today if I didn't have the habit of obeying my dad. Okay? I can guarantee you that today. I don't know what I'd look like. I don't know if I'd have broken bones or whatever. I don't know. But I would not be standing here today if I had not been obedient to my parents. In the same way, we have the obligation to be obedient to God and what He's asked us to do. And that's simply what He's asking the people of God to do. I believe our spiritual health is displayed in our tithing. Number three, tithing is an indication of our spiritual maturity. How are we growing? How are we doing in regards to our spiritual health? Are we listening to the Spirit of God? Are we reading the Word of God? Are we studying the Word of God? Are we being engrafted into the Spirit's work by what God is asking us to do? And so the challenge here, he simply says to us, if you want to return to me, then return to the ordinances. And then one of the ordinances that you can return to very simply is, return to me in giving the tithe and the offering. And then in verse 10, the very famous verse about tithing, I'm going to read it and then I want to do something real quick. Look what it says, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house. I like food. I think that's my issue. I love food. I'm about food. In fact, Glenda and I have said the reason that we run so much is because we like to eat. And I do. I started the year at 269 pounds. I have run 560 miles so far this year. And I've lost 4 pounds. Now, that's only possible. Are y'all listening? That's only possible if you like food. And so I like the fact that there's food in my house. I like that. All right? I want to read the verse again. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. All right, I'm going to do something really strange and unusual, but stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Somebody bring me a $100 bill. Somebody bring me a $100 bill, okay? Somebody bring me a $100 bill. Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate that. You can go be seated. Go ahead. All right. That's good. Now, what was I saying? Okay. Where was I? I was talking about bringing the tithe, right? I was talking about bringing, right, the tithe, right? Let me ask you a question. Whose money is the tithe? He says, bring the tithe. He didn't say give the tithe, did he? I want to ask my friend back here who brought me the... Tell me your name again. Seth? Let me ask you... Huh? Garrett, let me ask you a question. Whose $100... First of all, is this a real $100 bill? Yeah. I knew there was a reason I asked you to do this. I knew I could get it back. This is a real $100 bill. And I gave it to Garrett before the service, and I said at the appropriate time, I want you to bring this $100 bill up here to the stage. But whose $100 bill is it? It's mine. Although you wanted to keep it, didn't you? Tell the truth. You wanted to keep it. I actually did this one time at a church, and I got to tell you this story. I did this one time. I preset the meeting up and everything, handed it to somebody, and I said, now at the appropriate time, I want you to bring me that $100 bill. And so when I asked for the $100 bill, guess who didn't show up with the $100 bill? I had two or three other people in the congregation that brought $100 bills, so it was a very profitable day for me. But the person that I had planted that $100 bill did not bring the $100 bill. Here's my point. When God says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, whose money is it? It's God's. He's not asking you to give. That's later. He's asking you to bring what is rightfully His. And then I want to move on quickly. Let me tell you three things about tithing. Number one, tithing obeys heaven. Tithing obeys heaven. It is a specific command. It is a way that we can show our love and our covenant relationship with God. It is a way that we can express our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem that we have so many times, we want to put conditions on this, and we want to say, well, this goes here and this goes here. And in fact, I've had people say to me, Brother Steve, I believe in New Testament life and New Testament living, and the tithe was an Old Testament principle, so we're no longer obligated by the Old Testament principle so that we don't have to tithe any longer. Well, that's a misunderstanding of Scripture altogether. Because actually, tithing began before the law was established. Did you know that? Tithing actually began before the law was even given. Look with me in Genesis chapter 14. We're not going to stay there long, but go back with me to Genesis chapter 14. Verse 20 of chapter 14, Genesis chapter 14. He's making a declaration. This is Abraham. This is Abram before he was Abraham. And he's just won an incredible battle, and God has blessed him in so many ways. And he says, "And blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then he gave him a tithe of all that he received in that battle and all that he had. And so we see that as an Old Testament, even before the law was given. In Genesis chapter 28, in verses 20 through 22, we're not going to read it, but Jacob's response to the vision that he had before God, his response was also to give a tithe of all that he owned and all that he had. We see the biblical practice given, the law gives us that practice in Leviticus chapter 27. So turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 27. Beginning in verse 30 of chapter 27 of the book of Leviticus. Verse 30 says this, "And all the tithe of the land, whether it is seed of the land or the fruit of the land, is the Lord's." That's possessive, right? It's the Lord's. "And it is holy unto the Lord." Let me read it again, verse 30. "And all the tithe of the land, whether it is of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, it is the Lord's." In other words, it all belongs to Him. And the way that we say as a believer, as someone who is in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, the way that I display that I am in a love relationship, a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, is that I bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's my way, and that's the biblical way of expressing thankfulness and gratitude to all that God has done in our lives. Let's go back to Malachi in chapter 3. He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." So what are the tithes, scripturally, what are the tithes to be used for? Three things real quick. Number one, to pay and to provide for the priest. Those who serve the household of faith, those who serve the house of the Lord, those are what the tithes are to be used for. Number two, to maintain that place of worship. To maintain that center of worship, not just worship as in worship service, but the worship activities that take place all during the week. And then also, every third year, there was another tithe that was received, and it was to provide a feast for all the people, all the Jewish people in that area, to allow them to come together. If you want to think of it this way, think of it as a national potluck, okay? I know I can speak that language because you guys are a bunch of Baptists. You understand potlucks. It was like it was a national time to get together and to celebrate. And so they actually would pay for all the incidentals that they needed to have as they joined together. What about tithing in the New Testament? Well, let me give you three things real quick. Number one, Jesus commended the Pharisees for tithing. Here's what he said to them: "Guys, you did great. Wonderful. You're tithing. That's wonderful." But here's what he said to them. He said, "You've left this other stuff undone." In other words, tithing is not the place to stop. Are y'all listening? Say we're listening. We're listening. Tithing is not the place to stop. It's the place to start. If you give a tithe to your church, and maybe you're impacted by the Billy Graham organization and you love what they're doing, then you can give an offering, and that's when it becomes an offering. You can give an offering to the Billy Graham organization to say, "We love what you're doing. We love what we're excited about what you're doing. Here's our offering," and that's exactly what it is. But your tithe does not belong to Billy Graham. And if you were to boldly state that, I guarantee you, if you were to boldly state to the Billy Graham organization, I am sending you my tithe, they would probably send it back and say, "We don't want your tithe." Because the biblical place for us to give is to the local storehouse. Number two, New Testament giving indicates that they were to give not just a tithe, but even more than a tithe. And we'll see that in just a moment. The third thing is that everything that's created, everything that we have, that we can touch, that we can see, every one of those things, everything is really should be given to God. And the way that we express that everything belongs to God is when we give that tithe. What about the early church fathers? Well, there were people like Origen and Jerome and other church fathers that made a practice of tithing. And so tithing is simply obeying what Scripture has asked us to do. Number two, not only does tithing obey heaven, not only does tithing open up the windows of heaven, not only does tithing obey what He's asked us to do, but it also opens up the windows of heaven. It opens up to us the blessings. Dr. Stephen Olford says this about tithing. He mentions three things. Number one, that the proper proportion is 10%. The tithe means 10%. What's the proper place of giving? The local church. That's why you see in Scripture, in particular in the New Testament, everywhere it says church in the New Testament, except for four times, everywhere that it says ecclesia, called out ones, the church, everywhere that he uses the word church, except for four times, he's describing the local church, what we're experiencing today. And so he says that the place of giving should be the local church. And the purpose of our giving is that there, as he says there in Scripture, he says that there may be meat in my house. In other words, there may be the ability to accomplish what God has asked us to do. Giving measures in our minds and in God's mind, it measures our response to God. And God says, if you'll do this, I'm going to respond to you in such a way that it's going to be, it actually is going to enable me to pour out to you blessings that you cannot even hope. And so literally, when we give our tithes to the Lord, it literally unleashes His ability to pour blessings, to continue pouring blessings into our life. Not only does it obey heaven, not only does it open the doors of heaven, but number three, I believe it obligates heaven. When we're obedient to the Lord and our tithing and giving as He has asked us to give, it does at least two things. Number one, it protects our work. Look in verse 11. Listen to what he says. First of all, in verse 10, he says, I'm going to pour out the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing into you that you cannot even hold. But look at verse 11. He gets really specific. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine will no longer cease to bear that's in your field. In other words, he's simply saying, I will rebuke, I will push back the devourer. How many of you know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here's what I know, you have one enemy. I know of at least, you may have others. I don't know you that well, but you may have others. But I can guarantee you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have at least one enemy. And he's the devil, Satan. He does not like the fact that you are a believer. He does not like the fact, students, he does not like the fact that you love Jesus Christ. He does not like the fact that you're walking with Christ and that you're in the Word. He does not like that. And he's going to want to try to take anything and everything he can. In fact, he is a thief. The Bible describes him as a thief. He is one who's roaming around like a roaring lion trying to devour us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. What he's simply saying, what God is simply saying is, I'm going to keep him back. I'm going to push him back. So he protects our work. Number two, he helps us to project our witness. Look what it says again in verse 12. He says, and all nations will call you blessed. Why? Because you've been faithful to a God who has a covenant relationship with you. You've given the tithe to the storehouse. And because of that, I have poured out the windows of blessings into your life. And because you have allowed that to take place, you will be favored not only between you and God, but you're going to be favored among those that you come in contact with. In other words, your life is going to be more winsome because you're giving to God. Because you're blessed. I'm going to conclude with these four things. Number one, I believe that God blesses us because of our result of us giving, our tithes and our offerings. I believe that God blesses us in order to make us even more attractive to those who are unsaved. It's an opportunity for us to have a witness. We have a lot to be thankful for. Pastor John Started off our service with a moment for us to reflect on how God has blessed him. And we do have something to be thankful for. Amen. Number two, it strengthens our testimony. It's an amazing thing. Our giving strengthens our relationship, our covenant relationship with God. God is then allowed to open up the windows of heaven. And so, literally, he's strengthening our testimony by blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. Number C, makes us refreshing to all of those around us. We breathe life into those around us. We breathe life into those who maybe have been calloused by life. Maybe they've been hurt by life. Maybe they've been destroyed by life. I love having the opportunity, as God purposes in my own life, he allows me, every once in a while, he allows me to be a blessing to someone, maybe even someone I don't even really know, but I'm able to give to them and resource to them and help them, and God allows me to do that. He allows us to do that. Number D, not only can we do this individually, but giving together in our fellowships like we do with our churches enables us to do so much more than we could ever hope to do individually. Now, here's how it works in the Southern Baptist life. We have about 3,200 Southern Baptist churches in Tennessee. We're able to accomplish a lot, and I've shared some stories about that. But we're also able to do some incredible things worldwide through our missions offerings and through our cooperative program giving. Every single week when you give, listen, we're joining together. And we have close to, 5,000 missionaries that are out there right now overseas, serving overseas. As I said last week, we actually have about 1,500 more families, missionary families, that are wanting to go, but the resources are not there to send them. But we have about 5,000 missionaries that are around the world sharing the gospel, sharing the story of Jesus Christ, and seeing people come to faith in Christ. And even some of the darkest areas. Our niece actually went to an area, we couldn't even know where she was going, because it was an area that is very, very resistant to the gospel and very hard towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet we're sending missionaries to those places because we don't want anyone to not hear about Jesus and to have the opportunity to receive Christ. Your giving and us together allows us to do that. And then finally, it projects our witness around the world. We have an obligation to the Lord. This is a beautiful part. This is a beautiful part about being a believer in Jesus Christ. If I really believe in Jesus Christ, and if I really believe that he is my Lord and he's my Savior, then I have to believe that he owns everything. And he's just simply allowing me, listen to the word, he's allowing me to be a steward. He's allowing me to be a manager of what he has poured into my life. The way that I say to God, God, I am, listen, God, I don't own a thing. God, you own everything. I am just simply a steward. I am just simply a manager. I am here for you. I am 100% in. I am 100% all in. The way that I say that on a weekly basis or a monthly basis is by giving my tithe. So I don't know where you are as a believer, but today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to encourage you today, even on a day when the preacher preaches about money. And I know that this is a very hard topic. I understand that. But listen, folks, I didn't write this. I'm just simply the messenger. I'm simply saying to you, if you want it good, if you want it gospel good, then be faithful to God in our giving. And he says, test me on this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out to you blessings that you cannot even hold. You're not a believer today, I would encourage you to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would love to talk to you even after the service if we have to. I'll even talk to you after the service. I want everybody that's within the sound of my voice to know Christ and to know that you're going to heaven when you die. But if you're a believer and you're a church member, this church, I want to encourage you to test God. Give the tithe and see what God does in your life. Let's pray together. Father, again, we praise you for the illustrations that we see in Scripture. Father, we praise you for the opportunity that you give to us to give and to be a blessing to others and to the household of faith. Father, I pray that today, even today, I pray that someone within the sound of my voice, maybe someone who does not know Christ, today has been drawn into a relationship with you. Father, I pray that even today, if there's one who has that relationship with you, but Lord, they've not been committed in their giving, they've not been there, they've not matured to the point, I pray that even today, by the word of God and by the testimony of others and by the Spirit of God, I pray that we would begin to be obedient as your church, as your family. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to bring our tithe into the storehouse so that the work that you have set before us can be accomplished, not to our glory, but all to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.